Welcome to the SearchITChannel.com podcast. This is Nicole Harding, Associate Editor. Today's guest is expert Ed Tittle, author of more than 100 computing books, including Microsoft Windows 7 In Depth. We'll be talking about the best reasons for VARs to get involved with Windows 7 upgrades and migrations. And we also have with us Barbara Darrow, Senior News Director.
Hi, Nicole and Ed.
Good morning.
So, Ed, this is Barb here. We've heard a lot about Windows 7 over the past year, and it came online in November, I believe. What should VARs know about Windows 7 and talk to their customers about, even if their customers source it with a hardware upgrade?
That's a very good question, Barb. There are a lot of opportunities for VARs to make hay from the introduction of Windows 7. On the one hand, there are some great opportunities for them to bring sophisticated tools to bear, like Laplink PC Mover, to help their customers migrate older machines that may be running XP or perhaps Vista to Windows 7. And on the other hand, there's always a need for somebody to tackle the job of creating standard images for Windows 7 deployments, be that for new machines or perhaps for restoring backups after some kind of mishap. And VARs will find that the level of sophistication and capability in the tools that Microsoft makes available to its partners and also in tools available from third parties are going to create a lot of opportunities for them to cultivate an improved service relationship with their customers.
So one of the issues with Vista was that it was promised that it would run on older machines, and then that didn't necessarily happen. But what you're saying, it sounds like, is that Windows 7 will run on a lot of older hardware, correct?
That's very true. In fact, interestingly enough, there was an issue with Vista where the Windows management architecture inside the operating system itself actually caused the window manager to store the contents of active windows in memory while Windows itself was also buffering those windows again in memory. So one of the major reasons why Vista was such a memory hog was that it was actually storing everything twice where it came to updating and managing window contents on screen, which has always been one of the biggest consumers of memory in the Windows environment. In Windows 7, this has been entirely fixed. And the requirements for both CPU and memory capability are essentially about half of what they were for Vista. So a machine that could run Windows XP comfortably, which is to say with a gig of RAM or more, will also take to Windows 7 fairly easily.
The biggest thing we've been hearing about on the hardware side for the past 8 or 9 months is netbooks. It's the hot-selling class of computers. Is Windows 7 a good citizen for netbooks?
Well, in fact, Microsoft actually created a special version of Windows 7 called Starter Edition that's designed specifically to run on netbooks. I've worked with it myself, and in general, it's very good for unmanaged PCs of the netbook variety. On the other hand, if you want to get remote desktop support and the ability to do any kind of remote management and update, you might want to look at Windows 7 Home Premium or even better, Windows 7 Professional, because it does not have a huge memory footprint. It'll do fine on a machine with 1 or 2 gigs of RAM, and then it brings all of the remote management and remote support and remote assistance tools into play for helping either VARs or IT departments manage their users or customers' nettop or netbook.
That's great. And one of the biggest questions I think VARs get from customers is, what does it mean for my older Office applications, et cetera? Are there any issues with Windows 7 and existing applications that are out there in full force?
Well, yes, there are, actually. And one of the nice things that happens with Windows 7 in the higher echelon editions, which is to say Professional, Ultimate, or Enterprise, is that you get support for the Windows XP mode, which essentially combines Microsoft Virtual PC and a license for Windows XP so that you can set up a virtual machine and run legacy applications inside a virtual machine running Windows XP. So if you can't get something to run on Windows 7 straight out, Microsoft makes a great technology available to run legacy stuff in a virtualized environment that solves most of the problems that people are likely to run into.
You know, one of the VARs I talk to a lot who tends to be a skeptic said that the XP mode in Windows 7 alone is worth the price of admission. I don't know if you agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think it, rather than saying it's worth the price of admission, I think it justifies the price differential to go to Windows 7 Professional instead of one of the lower tier versions, because you don't actually get support for Windows XP mode until you opt for Professional or better.
Wow. And the rule of thumb for Microsoft products in the past has been, you know, most organizations wait till SP1 to upgrade. Do you think that's what's happening here, or are people already running to Windows 7?
Well, Well, you know, between the fact that XP itself is pretty long in the tooth, 9 years old, and that Vista never really took off, a lot of companies are caught between technology refresh and the running out of technical support for XP on the one hand and fear and loathing of Vista on the other. So I think we're starting to see more organizations and enterprises proactively pursuing Windows 7 and not necessarily waiting for SP1 as was the case with the last two earlier major versions, both XP and Vista.
Great. Well, Ed, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate hearing from you on Windows 7 opportunities for VARs.
Well, gee, Barb, it's my pleasure. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.